Join me in the prayer of confession. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us confess our sins to God and to one another. Almighty God and eternal God, who searches the hearts of all people, we acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, that we have not loved you with all our heart and soul, with all our mind and strength, and that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us our transgressions and help us to amend our ways, and of your eternal goodness direct what we shall be, so that we may henceforth walk in the way of your commandments and do those things which are worthy in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Read the words of assurance. God will not leave us without hope. The graceful gift of Jesus is proof positive of that blessed assurance.
We are accepted by God.
God will enable us to express our troublesome thoughts and memories.
We are forgiven by God.
God will give us confidence to speak of new things, to work in new ways, and to cooperate with new people.
We are renewed by God.
Pardon and peace are yours.
Thanks be to God.
If you'll turn to the back of the hymnal, join me in the unison reading. We believe in you, O God, eternal Spirit, God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and faithless grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen.
This is the time we share some announcements. You may have heard a beeping as you came in through the vestry today. That is because they turned off the power to the church yesterday to replace the big telephone pole and power pole out front of the vestry entrance there. So we will be calling the alarm company first thing on Monday to ask them to come and reset it. Okay. Oh, you were able to? Oh, good. Thank you. That'll probably only last for the time we're here, and that's okay. It's always good to have a tech person in the congregation, isn't it? It's a new panel, and I didn't dare touch anything on it because I was afraid I would bring you know, the fire department here. We didn't need that. Well, we will know if we start hearing a loud siren, and we will just have to clear the building. That's right. Yes, we will ask them all to stay, all the firefighters to stay for the service. Right, exactly. Very good. This Friday is a family feast, and so we ask you to please call the church office by noon Tuesday in order to order. I think it's a meatball sub, as I recall, so be aware of that. Next Saturday, May 7th, we're looking for anyone to come help clean the grounds of the church in the CE building. If you would call Rich Follett or the church office, we will relay the information, or even Gil. I don't think Rich is here today, is he not? Correct, yeah. I was going to have him raise his hand. He can do it at home on Zoom, but it's not going to help us. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Cher, for that. And we are planning a yard sale for May 21st. We will be seeking volunteers for that. And if you want to purchase your own table to get rid of some of that stuff that you have gotten together and don't know what to do with, please feel free to do that. Are there any other announcements we should make? Yes, Dave. Oh, yeah, you need a mic. Okay. You're going to be there for the special music anyway, right? Yeah.
I do have an announcement. Usually, choir ends around May or June, and then we have a summer music program that we like to have anybody that wants to participate, whether you do a solo or you sing with me or a duet or a group of people together, we're always looking for musical offerings through the summer. So if anybody wants to do that, just talk to me. I can suggest songs. I can work with you. But if you have any friends that you want to bring into the church and do something together, that would be great. Just by all means, just talk to me and bounce it off me, and I would love somebody else to participate and do some musical offerings throughout the summer. And then we're going to get back to choir by the fall. That's the game plan.
Amen. Good for you, Dave. That's wonderful. Does that also include if they want to play an instrument?
Yes.
Okay. I promised to leave my kazoo at home. No kazoos. Okay. All right. Any other announcements that anyone wants to make? They just come up and use the mic if you would like to do so. Yes. Get to a microphone. We got to reach. All right. Kathy Trowbridge is looking for help for Friday night. So if any of you can come, I think they use Thursday and Friday to get set up. Okay. Thank you. Okay, call the church office and be there, and she will appreciate that a lot. Any other announcements? If not, then let us remember how much God truly has blessed each and every one of us as we present our morning's gifts and our tithes and our offerings. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your many graces that you have given to us, and we pray that you would bless these gifts and those that have brought them, that we might strengthen our ministry, our church, here and around the world. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
So in the hymnals, as we look at our hymns, you can always look down on the left-hand corner and see who wrote the words, who wrote the music, what year it was. Also down in the right-hand corner, there's a little name of a tune, and then it's usually a funny little name, and then there's numbers under it. And that is a numerical index, and it's in the back of the hymnal that you can choose tunes by numerical index. And what those numbers mean is how the melody or how the rhythm of the tune goes. And what that does is it makes it able to, you can sing different hymns to different melodies, and you can sing different melodies with different words. So I'm gonna take advantage of that and do a little different take on some familiar hymns that are in the hymnal. Everybody's gonna ask me later, so I'm gonna tell you now. This is a dulcimer. And dulcimer is an Appalachian instrument. They make them in Appalachia because they don't have much there, and it's a very simple instrument. It's a four-string instrument, and it's not unlike the lutes and the beginning guitars that were hundreds of centuries ago. That were centuries ago, back in the 1400s, 1500s. So it's very familiar like that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, who saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how great thou art, to save a wretch like me. How sweet the sound, oh how profound, to save a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see, a grave thou art for me. How sweet the sound, oh how profound, to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how great thou art, to save a wretch like me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. You're always educating us in music, and that was lovely.
Yeah, roller skates.
Then we wouldn't see your fun socks. Okay, this is the time we share our celebrations and our concerns. Do any of you have a celebration you would like to lift up? Yes, okay, Jackie. Wow. Meeting up with a friend from high school and you haven't seen that person since high school. That's nice. You finally found each other. Great. Dunkin' Donuts, that's worth a celebration. Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We have several people, to my knowledge, who are hospitalized. First is Carol, that's Jan Meyer-Dirk's aunt. I will have to be in touch with her to find out how she's doing. Nancy Kelly, is she in a rehab now? She's still at Tufts Hospital in Boston until tomorrow. She broke another hip. Yeah, I know, it's been tough. For those who are at home, Ed Dyer, as to my knowledge, is still at home. For those who have ongoing medical issues, we ask for prayers for Jen, for Lee, for Marge, for Marilyn, for Diane, for Janet, Bonnie. I had opportunity to speak to Kathy Wade, and she is dealing with a medical issue, and so our thoughts and prayers are with her out in Colorado. And I just got a text saying that Aaron Newby's father, I believe, has been hospitalized. His name is Dave Knoyer. So our thoughts and prayers are with the Knoyer and Newby family. Those who are in the nursing homes or assisted living, Jackie Glass, I saw her this past week. She's doing pretty well, all things considered. And Carolyn Farrell. And of course, our mission we pray for is for aid to Ukraine, which is going to be going on for that need is going to be going on for a good time. And I'm sure Gil will give us a report on how much we raise next week for the mission moment. Thank you. We also pray for all of those who struggle with addictions. We pray for our nation and the well-being of the world during these trying times. And we pray for peace. May God grant us all peace. So please join me in a moment of prayer and feel free to call out any other names at the appropriate time that you would like to offer up this morning. Oh God, we offer this morning our thanks for our church. You call us to live out our faith in community. We thank you for calling us to be a worshiping church, willing and able to voice praise, express concerns, and hear each other's needs. A changing church open to the movement of your Holy Spirit. The gifts of both tradition and innovation, the presence of new faces, and the welcome to others to join our membership. Help us to be a praying church, responsive to the needs of others. And so we pray for your healing presence to be with all of those whom we have mentioned today, and all of those whom we lift up into your presence now. Keep us aware of your call to us and to all disciples of all nations to reveal your teachings of love and justice and mercy. Remind us every day to practice our faith through action, to bear witness to your love and justice and compassion through spoken truth and caring deeds. We ask all of this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Last week, we heard that the disciples were terrified following the crucifixion of Jesus and were hiding behind locked doors on the day of the resurrection when Jesus finally appeared to them to prove that he was in fact alive. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Please hear these words. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my fingers in the mark of the nails in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. I have to admit that I've been on edge lately, and I can blame it, at least most of it, on the news. Don't you get tired of hearing the depressing news every day? Consider these recent stories. The Ukraine, of course. Russia continues to edge toward the discussion of the possibility of using nuclear weapons. In this country, inflation and recession worries. COVID hospitalizations up in the last month by 70% in Massachusetts. That's why we're still wearing masks, my friends. In Boston, I heard the really disturbing story of an 11-year-old and two 13-year-old youngsters arrested twice in the past 2 weeks for attacking and injuring people and shouting at the police with racial and homophobic epithets. Okay, I think I've depressed you enough. I think I've depressed myself enough. But we live in a connected world, don't we? It's so much more connected than we used to be. We live in a world full of headlines bombarding us on TV, on our smartphones, and on our computers. Many of us don't bother reading the newspaper anymore. The newspapers are shrinking. They can't get the advertising, so there's not much to see in the newspapers. But at least when they are there, we get a lot more information than mere headlines. Too often we catch up on world events by simply reading headlines or watching the ticker tape news on the cable channels. In 1 minute, we can see all of the world's events. But I realize, and I assume that you do as well, that things are much more complex than simply the headlines. We must look deeper into the story to learn what is going on. Consider Jesus' day. It's 29 AD. There are no TV stations. There are no daily newspapers. But like is true with all humanity, gossip, rumors, and conversations spread almost as fast as they can on cable or on the internet. We talked last week about the disciples being terrified and hiding behind locked doors Friday after the crucifixion to Sunday night. The first rumor would have been that the crucified Jesus had been reported to be alive. John tells us that Mary, presumed to be Mary Magdalene, was the first person to see the empty tomb and report the empty tomb to Peter and John. They run to the tomb. They see nothing but the wrapping cloths used to bury Jesus. And then John says that Peter and John simply return to their homes. It is after their departure that Mary would meet Jesus face to face in the Garden of Gethsemane. In an era when women were regarded as persons of lesser importance, seems to be going that way again, I might add, it's interesting that a woman was accorded this honor of seeing Jesus first. And that the evangelist reported it that way. He didn't try to cover it up with some conspiracy theory, did he? A woman in those days could not be a witness in court, so Mary's joy in seeing Jesus was apparently ignored by the disciples. But then the disciples, except for Thomas, were still hiding behind locked doors at this point until evening of that first Easter Sunday when Jesus appeared to them, spoke to them, showed them his hands and his side as proof of what had happened to him during the crucifixion, and they believed. That's how John tells the story. You know the way the story would have to be told if it were a news agency that got hold of it these days. The local paper would have written that the crucified Jesus was reported to be alive. The newspaper cannot declare things that they cannot prove. That makes sense. Secondhand eyewitnesses like Mary Magdalene and some ex-fishermen are not enough to prove the resurrection took place. Journalists today need a lot of hard evidence. And so that is the position that Thomas finds himself in. He is the skeptic in the bunch, and he wasn't there in the room when Jesus first appeared to the other disciples. And he's back with them now. It's later. It's 8 days later, as a matter of fact, and he just can't believe this fantastic story of a resurrection. And that's what earns him the moniker of Doubting Thomas. I'm sure you've heard that. But aren't we all a little bit like Thomas? We have our doubts. We need proof. We should dive deeper when we hear stories that we doubt. And it's important to recognize that doubt is not the enemy of faith. One theologian said that doubt is the ants in the pants of faith. Like a good journalist, Thomas needed proof, and he got it. 8 days later, Jesus came to the disciples again. Thomas is there this time, and Jesus revealed his wounds to Thomas. And this is the often forgotten part of Thomas. Thomas was the very first person in the scriptures to say to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." The other disciples had not said that yet. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Friends, he's talking about us. We were not there to witness Christ's resurrection. But one of the reasons we believe in the testimony of people like Thomas, who, like the other disciples, gave his or her life for his belief in Christ's resurrection, really speaks reams about proving the resurrection. Do you know how Thomas's story ends? Do you know where he died? See, we don't talk about Thomas very much, do we? We just want to talk to him about being doubting. He died in India, of all places. He is the apostle to the people of India. He brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to that land that was so culturally different from northern Israel, where Thomas himself grew up. And to this day, Christians in India revere Thomas as the apostle who came to them. It is said that Thomas died a martyr after he was run through with 5 spears by 5 soldiers. And that was true of most of the disciples. Almost, I think, all of them died as martyrs. "My Lord and my God," said Thomas after his encounter with the risen Christ. He was no longer the doubting Thomas. He was the apostle Thomas, willing to give his life to proclaim that Christ is alive and life is eternal. And that's why we are here in this place today, because we are seeing this through the eyes of followers, eyewitnesses like Thomas, for ourselves. And so we also believe. United Methodist Bishop Will Willimon tells about a conversation he had when he was a very young boy with an old farmer in South Carolina. The farmer told him that he thought the existence of Europe was fictional. Really? He believed that there was no such place as the continent of Europe. He found it hard to believe that anything existed past the Atlantic Ocean on the other side. Nevertheless, in 1918, is that a date that rings true with you? This farmer received his papers from Uncle Sam and was drafted into the army and had the opportunity to experience Europe as a fact. And he said to the young boy, Willie Willimon, "You wouldn't believe what lies over there." His doubts obviously had all disappeared. And that is how we feel about life beyond the grave. You wouldn't believe what lies over there. We believe men and women like Doubting Thomas gave their lives to tell the world as eyewitnesses that there is life beyond this life. So let us celebrate the living Christ as we gather about his table this morning. Amen.
Communion is 6:16. We're going to sing the first three verses. I'll lay it down once.
Please join me in the responsive reading found in the insert to your bulletin. Beloved in Christ, the gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was raised from death, appeared to Mary Magdalene, on that same day sat at the table with two disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. This table is for all Christians who wish to know the presence of God in Christ and to share in the community of God's people. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High.
Let us pray. Holy God, we praise and bless you for creation and the gift of life and for your abiding love, which brings us close to you, the source of all blessing. We thank you for revealing your will for us in the giving of the law and in the preaching of the prophets. We thank you especially that in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, born of Mary, to live in our midst, to share in our suffering, and to accept the pain of death at the hands of those whom Jesus loved. We rejoice that in a perfect victory over the grave, you raised Christ with power to become sovereign in your realm. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to gather your church, by which your work may be done in the world, and through which we share the gift of eternal life. With the faithful in every place and time, we praise with joy your holy name, saying together the words of the Sanctus. Holy, holy, holy,
holy, holy. God of love and majesty.
The universe speaks of your glory, O God Most High. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, in the highest. We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink of this, all of you." Let us pray. Consecrate, therefore, by your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine, and bless us that as we receive them at this table, we may offer you our faith and praise, we may be united with Christ and with one another, and we may continue faithful in all things. In the strength Christ gives us, we offer ourselves to you, eternal God, and give you thanks that you have called us to serve you. Through the broken bread, we participate in the body of Christ. And through the cup of blessing, we participate in the new life that Christ gave us. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward now and collect all of the used cups. Just place them back in the trays as that arrives in front of you.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gift of our Savior's presence in the simplicity and splendor of this holy meal. Unite us with all who are fed by Christ's body and blood, that we may faithfully proclaim the good news of your love, and that your universal church may be a rainbow of hope in an uncertain world. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Sing our final hymn, 327, and let's sing the first and last verses.
Been fed, the bread gives life, the cup gives us joy. God is in us. Go now with the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.